You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
We're on.
So we're not going to talk football anymore.
No football.
No politics.
And we don't talk politics on the air.
Hey, I gotta put a shout out to clients of mine as we're going along. I'm having a senior moment here. You know how today was a full day. You know how these full days.
Well, for you that's very rare.
I know.
That's why you can't take.
Well,
I had two things to do. Give him 2 hours of work. He's finished.
1-888-221-8990. Class, you're supposed to have that number written down next to the phone, except if you're in the car, don't write it down, don't even pay attention. But we want you to keep that number handy because we have over 200 years of combined experience and who knows what, and plus Pastor Dave on a thing, that's another 80 years at least.
And we have half of that experience sitting right on the other side of this desk.
That's true.
Yeah. All of this.
We're just a wash in wisdom.
We're a wash.
Well, listen.
Yeah. You know, there's certain words that I like. That's one you don't hear very often, but I like symbiotic.
Yeah. Symbiotic is nice.
Yeah, yeah. What's that machine they drive around on?
It's a Zamboni.
That stands up. No.
Zamboni. That's you're a hockey guy.
It's a Zamboni. It's not a Zamboni.
It's Italian. Right, it's a Zamboni. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Sam was his brother.
Sam was the brother.
What happens is back in '04, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, said, you know, guys, let's start doing a radio show. So we did, and the concept was very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor with clients in Florida and in 13 other states, and clients would ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. And in my not too humble opinion, if you are a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals for the benefit of your clients. Because the game plan that we have, and it's a responsibility, and Vince, you're probably more than anybody else would agree with this. We have an obligation because we have a certain amount of knowledge that we are there to help people, whether we like it or not. And the ones that don't, we kind of don't have much respect for. Because once you've got education and experience, you have a certain responsibility. I think it's almost biblical that part of it is when you're given certain gifts, you're supposed to use them.
Right.
And I take that.
And use them for the good, of course.
Well, that's my point. You know, I wasn't talking dollars and cents.
I mean the goodness as opposed
to
the opposite.
But when you're given certain gifts, you have a responsibility to help people. And we've taken that very seriously. So the game plan was we started off with the three, and then over a period of time, Vince Rosino, CPA, joined the group. Now, by the way, in this group, none of us house together. I mean, we don't share office space. We don't share commissions, fees, anything. And back to my not too humble opinion, that the best people, they don't work for other people. They are on their own. And that was the concept that I tried to put together, was local professionals with integrity, with credibility, and with experience. And we've been very, very fortunate over the years that the group has now grown not only to Vince Rosino, CPA, but to Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's been in real estate since 1978 or 80. And for somebody 30, that's really tough to do.
It is tough. She looks great for a very young age.
It's amazing. And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. You know, and here's a guy. In fact, Mike said he might be here today, but you know how
you know.
But he's so far away. He really can't make it.
He can walk here quicker than you and I can drive.
That's why it's tough for him to get here.
He gets sight. Yeah, I know. I think
sometimes the closer you are, the more difficult.
He lost the keys to his car, probably.
Oh, probably.
You know. Yeah. And now I don't even think you need a key anymore. That makes it worse.
Oh, you always need a key.
Well, you can lay it down.
Well, unless you have one of those, what do they call that? Those entry systems where you can punch in your code and get in the car.
They have that now, too?
Oh, yeah, they've had that
for years. My problem is that key fob, you know?
Yeah.
Once in a while, I drop it down between the seats.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. Then you don't even know if you can start. But you test your car. Okay, I know it's in the car. Now I got to find it.
Joe, you know, it's not meant to be kept in the car. The key fob should supposed to be in your pocket.
Oh, well, guess what? I don't like that lump in my pocket next to my wallet. Anyway, I want to go back to the old key system where you actually plug it into the thing to turn the key on. Yeah, now I know where the key is.
Yes.
You know, anyway, so the object of the group is to educate people and to teach and to help in any way we can. So we have Joe Martek, financial advisor, Vince Rosino, CPA, Greg Fasula, attorney. We were talking about attorneys earlier, just a few minutes ago, about local attorneys and how Greg happens to be a relatively unique attorney in that he's not pretentious, he's not arrogant, he's a good listener, he's just a flat good guy, and he helps people too. I mean, it wasn't something that it comes automatically, but I've seen him go out of his way to help people and not get paid. In fact, I had a client of mine that was weighed about 8 or 9 pounds worth of documentation done by an attorney that charged by the pound. And of course she couldn't figure it out for the life of her what was in those things. So she goes in to see Greg, and Greg talks to her for about a good hour. And she said, "What do I owe you?" And he says, "Nothing." And she goes, "Why?" He says, "Because you'll be back." Point was, Greg is just a super good guy. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. By the way, I've had a couple of people this week, and you probably have had more than I have, that asked me about FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
And all I said was, look, if you have any doubts whether you can or cannot collect money, get in and apply right now. Just put it in and apply. Worst you can do is get turned down.
Exactly.
Well, Joe, what if I make – don't ask me any questions, because the government has its own rules. And see, a lot of people had like a $5,000 and $10,000 wind deductible on their houses, so they may have had $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 worth of damage. I talked to one lady today who was unemployed for 2 weeks. Everything in the world. Now you're missing a couple of paychecks, plus the damage. And I just said, hey, call FEMA, get on, or go online, make an application. I think you have until November. We have another month left. And if you don't put your application in between now and the deadline, hey, speak of the devil. No, excuse me, Mike Paulus.
We don't speak the other.
We don't
the other name.
That's right. That's it. So what happens is that the FEMA thing. Have you had many people contact you about FEMA, Mike?
Surprisingly, not. I thought I would have some calls on that, but no.
I've had a couple this week.
I've had a couple this week. What, mostly want to know what they can take off on their taxes for.
I think I asked you that.
You asked me that. Well, the ones I had says how.
That was my phone call.
they wanted to know if they could collect, and I said I don't know, but I'll tell you this: if you don't apply by, I guess it's November 1st, you have no chance of collecting. So you've got to put down. Because a lot of people have a $5,000 and $10,000 deductible, and they might have had all kinds of damage that is not covered under their insurance because the deductible.
And not only that, things that you would have thought wouldn't be covered may be covered because you may have been out of work for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
You may have experienced some minor damage, maybe some landscaping screens, that kind of thing.
Well, a lot of companies and a lot of businesses basically laid people off for a short period of time, or maybe even longer than a short period of time because things stopped. Mike, you say you got backed up almost a month or more because of...
Yeah, we had to reinspect probably over 50 park properties.
Yeah, and that how much time did that take out of your life?
And expense. Every reinspection costs $180.
You look skinnier. You're not eating as well.
Well, that's because I had to pay for all those reinspections.
There's a lot of tax relief also, although my friend here doesn't believe it's relief, and for the most part it isn't, but they're working on
it. There wasn't any relief for me.
I wanted to tell you that they're working on it. I read yesterday that there's a bill in Congress, which, by the way, that I think the Democrats defeated, to give relief to those people who had IRAs. You remember, they weren't given a relief to people withdrawing money from their IRAs. They still were subject to penalty and interest if they were under 59 and a half.
Right.
Well, there is a bill in place. It'll probably be resurrected now to allow for the exclusion of a penalty if you have to take the money out for hurricane damage.
I had a client today that called up and said they needed to take money out of their IRA.
Right.
That she was out of work since the beginning of the hurricane all the way through, still hasn't gone back because things are not put back together again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got to take money out of her IRA to get by.
Well, the initial publication last week from IRS said that the penalties would still apply. But then I read yesterday about the bill that the Republicans put together. For tax relief.
That should pass.
It should, because it makes sense. Why would you penalize people? It's almost like charging you income tax on unemployment earnings.
Yeah.
It's not something I don't understand.
Well, you know, it's just like, let's go to Puerto Rico and penalize everybody because they had a storm.
Yeah.
I mean,
how can you file your taxes there if you have no internet, you have no electric?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to get major relief over there.
Big time.
I mean, even here, most people, if you were a person who was on extension, for example, and your return is due October 16th, if you're in this, most of every county in Florida, you get extended to January 31st.
We heard that last week. Mike and I do the happy dance. Yeah.
Well, not only that, I think you said they postponed the penalties and fines and the interest on that.
Interest, right. And late filing penalties will be waived.
That's fabulous.
And if they do hit you with that, you've got to write them and get them to take it away, which you can do.
That's why we have CPAs.
Absolutely. but there's something new, and maybe we'll get to this later.
There's
a big announcement today.
Do it.
I sent it around the email. I don't know if
I read the email.
You think I know?
Republicans
unveiled. You think I know how to read?
Yeah, no, you don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
You certainly don't read your email.
I don't.
The Republicans unveiled their tax framework today.
That I heard on.
And as I said in my email for the client, my clients, you look in your mailbox as I sent you an email. But basically, if you follow Trump and his campaign, it's pretty much follows that campaign promise. I mean, he's lowering the tax brackets for individuals from 7 down to 3.
Right. The lowest bracket.
No, he's lowering it down from a high bracket of 39.5 down to 35 is the top bracket under this plan.
Right.
The low bracket's actually raised a couple of points. I think the low bracket now is 10%. He's raising it to 12. But he's adding additional child credit. They're expanding the standard deduction. It's pretty good, actually. They're going from about $12,500 up to $24,000 for a married couple. Mm-hmm.
Good.
That's going to help people in Florida.
At the bottom, yeah.
But the itemized deductions, for the most part, are going away, with the exception of mortgage interest.
That's very
great
good
for you.
Yeah, boy.
But we have a very strong lobby.
Yeah. Mortgage interest and charitable deductions. You know, they couldn't touch that.
Well, you think about losing either mortgage interest deduction would be just a killer in real estate.
Yes. I
mean, it'd just be an absolute disaster.
That's one of the few advantages of owning versus renting.
Well,
but what I liked about the plan, though, is I read your email and it had mentioned the elimination of estate tax.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah. Yep. Which is great for us in Florida, because when you're able to write off your state income tax that you pay, say up in New York, I looked at a tax return today. And they accidentally sent their New York tax returns to me, too. Now, here's a person who made $21,000 last year. $21,000, not much. He had to pay over $1,000 worth of state income tax to the state of New York.
Wow.
Well, you know why? Because the state of New York doesn't allow you the deduction for New York state taxes.
Yeah.
So it's an add back. So they don't give you that. And besides, the New York state max tax rate is around 8.85%. They got a very high tax. And if you live in New York City, there's another 4% on top of that.
So
you could be paying 12.5% state tax in New York.
So if you live in New York State, you get to write off your taxes that you pay to the state. Which means that
not to New York State.
Right, but to the federal government. That means to us in Florida, we're subsidizing their lifestyle.
But wait a minute.
Well, there was a little give back on that. The give back was on sales tax.
Now, is that going to be eliminated in this new proposal?
They don't mention anything about sales tax in here. Right now, we're allowed to deduct sales tax as an itemized deduction here in Florida. That was a sort of compromise because of what you just said. The states that don't have an income tax are subsidizing those that did. So the Congress come up with this plan to allow those that don't have income taxes, states like Nevada, Texas, Florida, you could deduct sales tax. And they based it on a formula based on income.
Sure, sure.
You know, unless you had specific items, right, like you bought a car, a truck, or something like that. But other than that, just a standard thing. But that's the compromise. So you did have that sales tax deduction, mm-hmm, but I don't think that it equates personally. No. It doesn't.
Let me ask you a question, Vince. If New York State says 8%, okay, so 100,000, I pay 8,000. Now, when you file your federal taxes, is that $8,000 just subtracted from your adjusted gross income, or is
no?
It,
no, the way it works on a Schedule A is, let's call it, a Schedule A is a big bucket.
Right.
There are things that get into Schedule A. Some of those things have thresholds. For example, miscellaneous deductions. There's a 2% threshold.
Okay.
That means 2% of your adjusted gross has to be met before you can deduct the dollar.
Gotcha.
Then you got casualty losses, which is very, this is a common topic now because of Hurricane Irma.
Right, right.
It's a threshold of, you have to have 10% of your adjusted gross income you have to meet before you can deduct
before
that.
You can deduct.
So when you pass these thresholds, everything gets dumped into the pot. And then it's compared to your standard deduction, and if whatever's in excess, you get to take the higher of the two, either standard or the itemized. Now, even the itemized is subject to reduction depending on your income.
So I guess where I was trying to go with that is, if I didn't have New York State tax and I had to pay $20,000 in federal taxes, would I pay only $12,000 in federal, or would I pay 20 plus the 8?
Well, normally, forget about all the thresholds.
Yeah,
you'd get a tax deduction for the state tax that you pay.
Okay. Would it come straight off the total tax bill?
It gets added to your itemized. It gets added to the bucket.
Added to the bucket.
It gets added to the bucket, and then how much of the bucket you get to deduct is
so that means that $8,000 I wouldn't pay tax on. That's about all.
In theory, if you got 100% of it, yes, you wouldn't pay tax on $8,000.
No, I just was, I don't want to live in New York. I love Florida. Boaters. Well, yeah.
Think about that. What if you're in a 20% bracket? You got an $8,000 deduction. That's worth $1,600 for you. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you're not getting $1,600 back on sales tax unless you're buying some big stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of big stuff, you had advised me to, you didn't advise me. I asked you about purchasing a vehicle.
Yes.
And I have my fancy key fob that you were talking about earlier.
Did you buy it?
Huh?
Did you buy it? All right.
Good now, man. Now, Joe, when he first bought his first car, it didn't have a key fob or even a key. It just had a crankle.
That's right. That's true.
It was just
true. That's true. I remember that. It was in 1909 BDB.
Well, that thing was tough to win it back. It hurt your arm. Yeah,
that's why your right arm. By the way,
your right arm still hurt.
Those coin collectors, the 1909 BDB is a penny, Joe. It's not a car.
I thought you said BVD.
No, BDB. It's a type of coin.
But as we come into the final quarter of the year, it's important to start doing some tax planning.
No question.
One thing that I talked to you about, and we talked about the possibility of buying a car in the corporate name.
Right.
And then taking a 179 depreciation expense.
Correct. And depending on what it is, as I told you, you're limited even on the 179 if it's a SUV, oversized SUV, basically. Mm-hmm. You're limited.
But that's a good way to save some money if you need a vehicle.
Well, up to $25,000 could be deducted immediately on that oversized SUV. It's got to be over 6,000 pounds.
Boy, you know, Mike, you better gain some more weight back. 1-888.
Unfortunately, it doesn't include my weight.
He's got a couple of elephants in the backyard. He's counting them.
888-221-8990. So you called in earlier today, and part of the things that I guess 90% of the people would never know, people that were displaced.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the hurricane, like Fort Pierce, like you said, whole apartment projects got shut down and people all had to move.
Mm-hmm.
That FHA's got a program now.
Yeah, it's called a 203H. Now, everything they have is called 203, so sometimes I get a little mixed up on the letters,
right.
But this is a 203H. And if you were displaced in the hurricane, your property that you own or the property that you rented was damaged and you can no longer live there, then you can qualify for this program. Well, you still have to meet all the income and credit criteria, but it's 100% financing and it's an FHA program. It's a wonderful program.
That means no money down.
Yeah, 100%
financing.
It's a wonderful thing.
What about closing costs?
Closing costs, they cannot be financed in, but if you negotiate your contract correctly, you can negotiate the sale, the seller pay your closing costs.
The seller pay.
So literally, you can get in with no money out of pocket whatsoever. Now, you have to be, you would have had to been displaced because of the storm.
Right. So you have to just prove, and obviously certain places are not too hard to prove because they were...
underwater.
Yeah. Underwater is a clue.
Yes.
But literally anybody that ran into that, so if you, whether you were renting an apartment or you were in a house, renting a house or owning a house, any one of the three, you could qualify. And my question to Mike was credit score. And your answer was?
Well, FHA technically does not have a credit score requirement. So they don't set the credit score. It's the individual lender or underwriter, whoever's underwriting that loan, will set their minimum credit score. Now, I have lenders that will underwrite that loan all the way down to a 540 credit score. I'll be upfront and honest with you, it's very difficult to qualify with a 540 credit score. It would have to be for a specific reason that happened. And what they look for is, hey, you know, bad things happen to good people. And they look for a situation that happened in the past, and that situation has been corrected, and you're back on track. So if you had a death of a wage earner, a major layoff or a change in your financial status that was through no fault of your own, back 2 years ago, you've gotten that all fixed, and the last year you've been on track, then yeah, we would consider a 540 credit score.
So the whole thing is, even if you had like a $50,000 medical bill that you couldn't pay because of a major illness and you lost your job, all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
It's a valid excuse for having a low credit score. And then if you're back working and everything in the world is working good, that credit score could still be low and it might take another year or two to get it corrected, but you can still qualify.
Yeah, but typically, like for FHA, if you qualify for the standard FHA program, it's 3.5% down. Now, once you go below 580, you're looking more towards 10% down.
Uh-huh.
So it's a larger down payment once you get to those lower credit scores, but there is a good option for you. And those interest rates are still very good. I mean, you can get, I've done one in the last 6 months where the credit score was 550, 10% down, and the interest rate was below 4. Wow. On a 30-year fixed.
And interest rates are still unbelievably low. They had a big thing about the whole real estate problem in America, in that the inventory is diminished, prices are going up rapidly on existing, there's not enough new construction coming in, and now they're going to have, because of the hurricanes, there's going to be whole areas of the country that are going to be very, very concentrated with new construction. So it might cause more of a problem in other parts of the country.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, even areas that were not affected are going to be affected indirectly, because I'll give you an example. In our development, there were three brand new houses being constructed. I haven't seen one worker on those sites since the beginning of September.
They're probably all in Houston. You know.
Because they've all relocated to areas where they're needed more.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what happened with Florida in the last recession, right? Well, there were no industry. Everybody
left.
Yeah, they all left and went to other places. Well, that's what left a vacuum here in quality tradespeople.
It's hard, it's hard to get
them back.
Business
started to come back the other way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and this has happened many times in history, nothing new, but it'll all work out over a long period of time. But in the meantime, it creates either feast or famine.
Well, you mentioned a solution to that all the children, after they graduate college, can come back and live with their parents again.
That's it, Mike.
That's a big problem. That's one of the biggest financial hurdles facing seniors today is the kids coming back.
But, you know, there's mortgage solutions for that, too, because we also do renovation loans.
Yep.
So if you need to expand your house,
they can put it up.
Go up,
he's
out,
got an
whatever,
like, everything.
Like the Italians on the north end, we just add another story.
Right? So we do have renovation loans that you can expand your existing.
I love it. But I do want to get back to something, Joe, before I forget about it, and I probably will. You know, people who have casualty losses can refile, go back and file a prior year tax return to get amend the return to take these losses if they have big losses.
So even though the loss occurred this year,
you can carry it backwards and get cash refund.
Nice.
And expedite it. So that's something that some people ought to. And also for those people who are in business, we didn't talk about the business side. The business taxes also, besides personal, the business taxes were extended as well for people who have like payroll deposit requirements. You know, they're allowing you to go through January to make those payments without penalty. So there's a lot of stuff coming out now regarding that hurricane that helped people and helped business.
Hey, Vince, if you have to put a new roof on and you don't, you opt not to file a claim, or maybe your insurance company doesn't honor the claim,
right,
is that something that can be deducted on your taxes?
If it's a casualty loss due from the hurricane and you're out of pocket.
How do you prove that? How do you get some
evidence?
Well,
you got bills, right? Somebody's going to construct that roof.
Yeah, so an invoice would be sufficient.
Oh, yeah, you need a proof of payment.
How many shingles are you going to buy? Home Depot receipts, right?
Well, I'm just saying, like, a lot of people for hurricanes, for storm and wind damage, they may have a large deductible.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So
those are considered losses.
So even if you don't file a claim, that doesn't prohibit you from taking the loss.
Oh no.
And
no,
here comes FEMA again. That's what I was saying to
people.
Although
they might question you.
They might question.
Question your logic. If it's that big of a loss, why didn't you go through your insurance company? Mm-hmm. That might cause some questions.
Mm-hmm. But if it's a $10,000 deductible and you have an $8,000 loss.
Of course that makes sense. But if you're going to put a $50,000 deduction in, you didn't go to your carrier.
Well, there are people that self-insure, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Well, that is true. Except if you have a mortgage, as you know, you can't do that.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. See, we're throwing lots of stuff out here awfully fast today, folks. But anybody has a question. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call the radio show anytime. You can call the station anytime. Talk to Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Karen, whoever's there. They'll take your name and number, and we'll call you back. And, by the way, if anybody fell through the cracks, I mean, one of my favorite lines is, the last time I walked on water,
yeah, it was frozen.
It was frozen.
And you fell.
And
you slipped right out of the water.
I will tell you.
I remember that.
I will never be on ice skates again. Please, Lord, don't let me do that again. I owned a piece of ice in Rockefeller Center because I remembered. Vince, you grew up north.
Yes, I did.
So I used to grow up playing ice hockey. I mean, we played ice hockey hard. Now, you know, when you're a kid, you run. Mm-hmm. On skates. Everything you do when you're playing hockey, you're running on skates. You're sliding sideways. You're doing this. So I'm out there at Rockefeller Center skating along, and I'm seeing, wow. I jump up in the air, and I'm going backwards, and I was doing really good. I jump up in the air, and I'm going forwards. And I go, wow, this is cool. I jump up in the air, and I owned the ice. I came down like a sack of rocks. I'm laying there on the ice. I hurt every inch of my body. The guys come out, and they're peeling me off the ice, and they say, are you okay? And I said, no. I'm old, I'm stupid, and I hurt.
You mean this was just recently?
This was, like 3-4 years ago.
Wow.
Oh.
You should have known better than that.
Well, of course I should have known better. That's what I said. Old, stupid. Remember, I gave you two clues right away. The thing was, my days of ice skating are over.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, just because I remembered when I was a kid, that was a mistake to start with. The first mistake was going out on the ice the first time.
You know? Well, we just recently heard a bad story about his boating activity. So.
Oh, geez, that's true. Forget the boating. Stick with fishing.
Listen, boating activities are not bad. The boat's gone to the Bahamas 5 times, hasn't broken.
Mm-hmm.
It has broken since it got back, which is, I consider, considerate, because all boats break.
Yes, they do. I mean,
that's just called a given. But when they break, when you're close to being placed, you can repair it, that's really wonderful.
Yes. So,
I can't tell you the other boating story. That's okay. 1-888-221-8990. You know the other boating story.
I'm sorry, what?
Never mind. 1-888.
I was thinking.
Are you off to lunch?
You should never be thinking.
Well, I was thinking that you could take up ice fishing, which would bring together
that ice
two bad things that you can do. I mean, you're sitting on the ice. You're not skating.
Have you ever done that?
No.
No,
you don't ever want to do that.
Okay.
It is cold.
I could go one of those houses, you know, those little
houses. No, the shanties were fun.
Yeah.
I don't see any enjoyment in that.
Well, the shanties were fun. They really were. You got a heater in there. You're sitting, I mean, literally shorts and a t-shirt with a heater. And because the way the ice is, it lights up, because you're dark inside, it lights up the hole and through the ice, you can see the fish coming by and the whole thing. You don't even care if you catch any. This is like watching a football.
Just an excuse to get out and have fun.
It's a
party. That's it.
But it was, and I know, you'd only need to do it regularly.
No, that's not.
There's another thing. Getting the shanty out on the ice, cutting the hole in the ice.
Right.
I mean, there's some.
You better hope it's a dead of winter, too.
And then when you drive your vehicle out there and you drove it out on the wrong piece of ice and you lose your vehicle, which does happen every year up north. Mm-hmm. People do that. You know that. You ever see that?
Well, I lived in the Philadelphia area.
No, they didn't do that there.
The ice didn't get too thick there.
No, they did that up in northern Michigan and Maine and Vermont, you know, what they regularly...
In the early spring, if you're out there doing that, and you're driving your truck out, watch out.
Watch out.
Hope you have your snorkeling gear.
I don't think I'd be that daring.
1-888-221-8990. Questions you might have for Vince Rizzino, CPA, or Mike Polis, mortgage broker, or Joe Martek, financial advisor. Today's a good day.
It is a great day.
Every day is a good day.
We didn't talk about the business tax reform.
Tell me.
Businesses, they want to lower the tax rates from 35% down to 25%.
I thought it was 20.
No, it was 25%.
Is it 25?
They upped it to 25. I knew that would happen.
Okay, yeah.
That was a compromise, too, from the administration.
Well, of course.
But, yeah, they're going to lower from 35 to 25. They're also talking about pass-through entities having the same 25% max rate. However,
subchapter S's or?
S's, LLCs, partnerships.
You can pass through up to 25.
No. The pass-through income would be subject to 25% tax rate. But here's the problem with it. Mnuchin, our Treasury Secretary, about 2 weeks ago at a luncheon, made a comment that they were thinking of targeting those 25% pass-throughs to manufacturing companies and things that are job creators. All the professionals basically jumped all over that.
I guess everybody said, hey, I don't get in and everybody else does, right?
Yep.
Let me take a call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask you a question. I'm thinking about getting a house. The only problem that I'm having is I work for like a housekeeping, like cleaning for private people, so I don't get like a pay stub, but I get like a check.
You get a 1099?
So how do I go around that?
Do you work for yourself or do you work for a company?
I don't work for a company. I just work for private homes.
Well, do you...
So it's like working for myself.
How do you file on your tax returns? Are you a sole proprietorship, a Schedule C?
This is my first year doing it. Normally, I had a job for like 9 years working at a hotel. And this is my first year, so I haven't done the taxes thing yet.
Well, congratulations on your new employment.
How about, are you married?
I'm separated.
Okay, good. You're not making this easy, you know.
Yeah. Well,
sorry about that.
I like the challenges myself.
Here we go.
There are programs out there for you. Yes, there are. You're not going to qualify for the standard Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA type of loan. You're not going to get, you know, a standard institutional type of loan. But there are subprime loans out there now. And what they do is they'll take a look at your bank statements over the last 12 months. And they'll look at your deposits that you put in there on a monthly basis. And they'll use a percentage of those deposits as your income. So,
okay.
Now you will have to put a little bit more money down for those types of programs, and the interest rate's going to be a little higher because it's a riskier loan for a lender to make. But there are loan programs out there for your scenario.
Can you give me an idea? And one more question. I just bought a new car, so I don't know if that's going to be like a problem.
Well, if you finance that car, we do have to calculate your monthly payment into your debt ratio.
Yeah, it financed. They didn't have a problem because
your credit
I showed them my bank statement, so that wasn't a problem for them.
Well, what happened was back in like before 2008, we had these programs that were no income verification loans. And that was a perfect scenario for someone with good credit and a good down payment, but just couldn't verify 100% of their income. They did away with those types of programs, but they're slowly creeping back into the industry. And this is one of those programs. We can look at your bank statements. We can look at your deposits. Use those deposits as verification of your income to repay the loan. So as long as your deposits can support your car loan and your mortgage payment with a debt ratio of about 40 to 45%, we should be able to help you.
So did you leave your name and number? Did you leave your name and number when you called in with Pastor Tom?
Yes, I did.
What happens is, Mike, can you call this lady tomorrow?
Yeah, I would love to.
let him counsel you on the phone tomorrow, and maybe he can do a little bit of checking for you and let you know what you can or cannot qualify for. Would that be a good idea?
That would be perfect.
Okay.
No.
All right. Good. That was a really, really good question, because self-employed, like you said, Mike, there was a time there that was really tough, but it's starting to get better now.
Yeah, because, you know, all the institutional type of lenders like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and, you know, when you go to your local bank and you apply for a 30-year fix, chances are it's a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan. We all have to abide by the same rules. So they want to see a self-employed borrower established for a couple of years. They want to see 2 years worth of tax returns.
They said two years.
We're going to average those tax returns out. So, you know, it's for the situation like this, that's not going to work. It's a newly established business. They don't have tax returns to show yet. And that's, you know, not to say that down the road we might be able to get that done and maybe refinance her into a better transaction. So these are programs that we typically use to bridge you to the next level. So it's a bridge loan to. So 2 years from now, when you have your tax returns filed, we might be able to refinance that loan and get you a better interest rate, a more traditional type of loan.
Well, let's do this. Let's have Mike give you a call tomorrow, and you two can talk and let's see what you can accomplish and if it can make it work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, congratulations on being self-employed. I guess congratulations on getting rid of that man that you got rid of.
I hope nobody's listening.
We didn't talk about that.
There's
end of it.
Listening to the radio station.
Nobody's
don't
listening.
Don't worry, caller. Nobody's listening.
I don't know what your name and address is. You want to tell us now? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that.
One thing you do have to be aware of while you're married, because Florida is a homestead state. That means that when you buy a property in the state of Florida while you're married, your spouse can file homestead rights against that property. So therefore,
I know about that because I have a really, really good realtor friend, and she do like high stake buying. So she already told me that.
Yeah,
good.
So you might need to finalize that.
You know, you might, now that you got rid of him, you might actually have to file on him just to get rid of him for sure.
Well, she didn't get rid of him yet, Joe. She's separated
means they're not in the same house, normally.
Yeah, but get rid of doesn't mean you're not living together.
Uh-huh.
There's legal stuff involved.
We got Vince, CPA. He'll counsel you on these things. He's really good at marriage counseling.
Yes, I am. Actually, I do a lot of therapy, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Although I'm not licensed for that.
I'm making you guys stay today.
I know, right?
Only kidding. We're not licensed to do that stuff.
No, it's okay. I'm a Christian, so I don't get offended about things. Don't worry about that.
Thank you, dear. Listen, we're glad. You know we'll help you if we can. You know that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for calling, and Mike will give you a buzz tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah. And Joe, we just...
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. God bless you.
We just, you know, when these new subprime lenders just got into the market, the new subprime lenders have only been around for several years. When they started rolling out and testing the waters a little bit, they were talking, you know, they had interest rates in the 9%, 10% range. Now, as more and more lenders get into that, it's more competitive market. So now you can get a subprime loan into the fives.
Nice.
So it's a lot more competitive. There's a lot more programs out there, and they keep stretching the envelope on what they'll accept. Now, I just got an email 2 weeks ago that they just rolled out a new program, and it's for self-employed borrowers, that they will take 1 month's worth of bank statements and use your deposits based on that single month.
Wow.
Really? As your income.
That's pretty liberal.
Yes.
That's very liberal.
Yes.
So if you really wanted to enhance your situation, you could take a high month, right, and apply with that.
But let me ask you this. This lady being separated, getting a mortgage on her own is going to be tough, is it not?
Well, it depends. You know, if they had joint credit together, where maybe he's paying, you know, some of the debt, and he's not going to be part of this loan, I have to count that debt against her and not use his income.
Okay.
So, yeah, it could be a burden, but it's going to be different for every person, every scenario.
Everybody.
That's what I was referring to, Joe, when you said, you know, I got rid of him, but legally she's still married, so that's going to create other
situations. Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. So Mike has to just take a look at each individual.
Well, like that doesn't prohibit you from getting a mortgage. I mean, there are a lot of separations that, you know, the spouses are in, a very cordial relationship. So how you get around this is the non-borrowing spouse would just have to be willing to sign the mortgage document.
Right.
That doesn't mean they have to sign the note. The note is the obligation to repay the loan.
Right.
So as long as everyone's good with that, we could still get around with that situation.
1-888-221-8990. Well, and I think what you said earlier, and everybody's an individual, and each case has to be looking at individually to see if you can accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
888-221-8990. Other than that, interest rates are still low.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Fed increasing interest rates. You know, I personally have my doubts about that because, you know, as we discussed in the past, what the Fed is also trying to do is reduce its balance sheet. It's very difficult for the Fed to reduce their balance sheet and increase interest rates at the same time because reducing the balance sheet in its own will increase interest rates. So to do both at the same time is a very difficult juggle for them.
The only way that they're going to get rid of those bonds they're holding is to entice somebody to buy them with a high enough interest rate, right?
Well, what happens is when you dump bonds onto the market, because a lot of that $4 trillion that the Fed is holding is mortgage-backed securities. Mm. So when they start selling those off into the market, that floods the market. And then all of a sudden, then that reduces the price on those bonds.
Of course.
And that drives up the interest rates.
Makes sense.
So it's going to be very difficult for them to do. I'm curious to see how they're going to do it. This past month, I heard the top economist from Freddie Mac speak. And what he suggested is they're not going to do that at all. They're not going to sell off any bonds. And what they're going to do is just let those mortgage-backed securities pay off over time. They're just not going to buy anymore and just let organic
payment. That isn't
payment
what our Fed chairman said, though.
I think she was talking about the Treasury securities. Bought Treasury securities as well, and that's a whole different animal because that takes 30 years to pay off, where mortgage-backed securities typically take 7 to 10 years to pay off.
And this is a difficult conversation that 99.9% of the people could care less about how the government works in between that, but it does affect us from a business standpoint and interest rates and qualifications, all kinds of different things come into the picture. But 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place.
Mike, I got a question for you. I mean, again, just personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of the Fed's withholdings you think are in mortgage-backed securities versus treasuries?
You know, that's a good question. I haven't really analyzed the balance sheet of the Fed, but
I don't know if
anybody
has, or we even have the ability to do it.
Well, you have to remember, back in 2008 and 2009, there was nobody. I mean, nobody was buying mortgage-backed securities, and the Fed was the only buyer of them.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, typically there's $800 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities just from Fannie Mae.
Hang on, I'll take another call here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi, Joe. This is Maria. I was wondering, I did the FEMA application. They sent me a $500 check, and then they sent me an $883 check. Am I responsible for the taxes on that?
You're Vince Rosino, CPA?
You know, that's a good question. My first reaction would be no. But honestly, I'd have to look into that. I'm not even sure. It depends on what they give. Is it a loan or is it an outright grant?
Did they say with that check what it was for? Was there a memo?
It was from the Treasury. It didn't say anything about a loan or anything like that.
Well, you know, if you leave your number, caller,
I
could check into that for you and do a little research on that and get back to you if you want to leave your number with.
And that's a good question to bring up next week also. But you left your number with Pastor Tom, right, when you just called in?
Yes, sir.
Let Vince check that out tomorrow and give you a call and let you know what the story is. But then also next week's show, we will make it a subject because this is still going to be a big topic between now and November when people have to claim.
Storm and all the related implications.
Yeah, because I was off of work because, you know, the hurricane. Plus, I injured myself on my garage door by slamming it in my fingers. So I was at the hospital for
that. Well, if you'd have called me up, I'd have told you not to do that. You know, that was not a good thing.
I know. I put it on free file because I couldn't start the generator. And I had to be at work.
Well, listen.
I'm a little tiny thing. I didn't realize that until... Now my fingers.
And now you're a little tinier because you don't have
a door. Yeah. But you have some swollen parts, you know, there's a different thing. Anyway, listen, don't let us pick on you. We're going to hang up because you'll get mad at us if we keep going with this thing.
You can pick on me.
Okay, listen, thank you so much. But Vince will give you a call tomorrow and give you the straight answer. And then next week, if you listen, and again, we'll try to share that subject with other people. That's a good question.
It's an excellent question.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening, Ron.
I had a similar situation when Hurricane Jean came. I took out all my corrugated metal shutters and I put them all by the proper window, and then I went around and I was picked up the first one and it slipped out of my hands and cut the top of my kneecap off. So I had to go to the hospital, and it was just me and this other guy in the emergency room, and he fell off a ladder putting off his shutter. So I'm wondering how many people actually get injured more by preparation of the hurricane than the hurricane.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those shutters are very heavy, which is why I did away with those and put the accordions on my house.
Hey, listen.
Because it's so much more convenient, but they're expensive. I know that.
1-888-221-8990. Yeah, you know, you could have got a loan from FEMA for your kneecap.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question. I mean, they
the
really...
workers' comp claim if he was doing that on his building.
they really tried to talk many people into evacuating. And many people did, because I did. And it took me 22 hours to get to Tennessee. So,
did you leave your knee behind?
No, this is for this last hurricane. This is for Irma. Now, do you think FEMA reimburses you for evacuation expenses?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Mike, I really don't know.
You need to file.
Yeah.
If you don't file, you never know. It's like if Deanne was here, they got, 2 weeks to file on a PIP claim. If you don't file, you can't collect.
Yeah, to me, though, I don't feel comfortable, because I was very blessed and I didn't have any, you know, losses. I didn't experience some
cost. If I were you, I wouldn't file it.
No.
Okay, good. Solves that
problem. I probably wouldn't.
Hey, I'll counsel you anytime you want.
But did you file?
I did. Hey, I didn't leave, and I had no damage. I had somebody put up shutters for me. See?
Smart. Yeah.
See,
it is smart.
Well, that's, I learned my lesson after, Gene. I pay someone. Because I did get quotes on accordion shutters, and it was going to cost over $20,000 for accordion shutters.
Oh, shutters are expensive. Yeah.
Well, you have a standalone house. I only have 8 windows in my house.
So what I said is I could pay someone a long, long time to put those shutters up.
Long time.
And take them down.
That is true, for $20,000.
And wash my car for the rest of my life.
He's got 40 or 50 years worth of labor there for that $20,000, right?
Exactly.
1-888-221-8990. Well, let me refresh again. Anybody that thinks they might have a possibility of a claim with FEMA, whether it's lost wages, actual damages not covered by insurance, or actual damages, period, you've got, I think, until November 1st to put a claim in. You can do it online. They've got billboards with phone numbers up around. It's real easy to find the number to do it. And I know a person personally that did it. It took them about 5 minutes to do this stuff online, which was a pretty simple application process.
What about your regular commercial policies, Joe? How long do you have to put a claim in for the hurricane?
You know, I don't know. On a homeowner's policy?
Mm-hmm. Or a homeowner's or a business policy.
And I don't know. But you know,
I found out on my building, my downstairs got flooded. I found the floor is starting to come up on me.
Now, you know how the flood insurance works.
Well, yes, I do.
If you don't
this
have
wasn't every, a
if,
flood.
No, this was wind-driven
this
rain.
This is wind-driven rain. Yeah.
Okay, $5,000 deductible. Tough.
But, so that means I just get to write it off on my taxes.
Well, yeah, but you might get a FEMA loan or might FEMA reimbursement. You better pile.
I should apply.
I mean, you got nothing to lose.
Right
here,
about that.
You know, I hate to tell you, I know you never pay much money in taxes because CPAs, you know, they
I probably
they
pay the, more than you do.
Yeah, I know
I
you
guarantee
do.
You.
They know their way around the rules.
1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. I'm going to talk a little bit about money, because I've had a couple of cases this week that, you know, Mike, what happens is, and it's an ongoing thing, everybody wants to make money. Nobody wants to lose money. Isn't that kind of a pretty simple scenario?
That seems to be a popular goal.
Now, what happened is the economy has been working extremely well, according to the stock market. Mm-hmm. In spite of what people think from an unemployment standpoint or wages, the stock market has been hotter than the pistol, and people are continuing to make. And there's always two sides to the coin. There's the ones that are scared that it's going to take a big monster hit because of something. And there's others that say, hey, everything is going to keep going and looking good for a long period of time, which has happened in the past. We've had 6 and 8 year runs back under Clinton, we ran a 20-25% growth every year in the S&P 500 for a good while, 5 and 6 years. It was just really a nice run. Well, this has been a pretty good run so far.
And you got headwinds coming, Joe. You just mentioned the Fed wanting to raise rates. I mean, that's a headwind for the market.
That's one. Two, but there are other things that are mitigators. Lowering taxes, which can generate more business. Personal incomes should start coming up because as full employment happens, all of a sudden you don't want to lose your good people. You're going to have to give them raises or they get headhunted. And I've seen people now.
Deregulation.
Deregulation has created more opportunities for business. So you've got two sides to the coin. So I simply say to people, look, there's a couple of different ways you can go. We got short-term money and long-term money. And what you have to do is not get greedy, in my opinion, right now. Look at 5 and 6%. And if you're in the bank, you're going to make 1, 1.5. That's about as good as you're going to get. And how long is it going to be before that? It might be a good idea if you got questions on how you can achieve 5 and 6% without taking undue risk. But let me take this caller in the meantime. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I have a IRA.
Yes.
And I've had it for about, let me pull over.
Okay.
I've had it for about 3 years now.
Okay.
And I just happened to check because I noticed it doesn't seem to be growing at all. And this was one of the ones that's supposed to be growing, you know, and I just don't understand the whole aspect of it. And I'm looking like for the last 3 years, it's like 1,300. They say that's administrative fees. Is that normal?
How much did you say are administrative fees?
The first year was like 1,200 plus.
Wow.
The second year was 1,300. And just this year, because they take it out once a year, it was another 1,300. So the money I'm putting in there to put it, they're making more money than what I, you know.
How much do you have invested in there?
How much is in your IRA?
I put $50,000.
Well, still, you know.
Still high.
It's
a high.
Well, if it was 1%, that'd be $500. 2% would be $1,000. Now, this could be a management fee that they're charging, but if they're not earning you considerably more money than they're charging you, they're not paying attention. See, what happens is there's different ways that people get paid. There are some organizations that say, hey, fine, we're not going to charge you a commission on everything, but we're going to charge you 1 or 2 or 3% every year no matter what. Well, if they're earning their 1 or 2 or 3% a year, you don't get upset. But if they're not, they might have you in the wrong investments. Here's the key that I try to do with everybody is educate you on what your options may be so that you at least have a feel for where you might want to have your money invested. So here's what we're going to do. It's almost impossible to talk about this on the radio. You left your name and number with Pastor Tom when you called in?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will give you a call tomorrow, and we'll talk about it on the phone and try to here's what I'm guessing. Boy, this is a stretch. My guess is that you're heavily invested in bonds right now. Bonds mean not bank bonds or government bonds. They're called corporate bonds. And what happened is the bond market has been going at very best neutral for the last couple of years, meaning interest rates are slowly going up, which unfortunately makes bonds go down. But if they're paying 3 or 4%, but you're losing some of the value and then you're paying fees, you might just be treading water, which is very dangerous. So
yes.
I'd have to look at that real quick. So if you can overnight get a statement out and just have it ready so when I talk to you tomorrow or leave you a message, you give me a call back in case we miss each other, and we can take a look and see what you've got, and maybe I can move you in a better direction.
Okay, I'll see if I can locate those.
If you can find one, that's good. If you can't, hey, we can always talk about it at a later date if you can't find any statement you can find that shows me what you're invested in.
Okay.
And
well, I just called today, and they gave me the information, so that's why I'm very concerned about it.
I would be too.
You know, I'm losing more than I'm not making anything compared to what they're taking out. You know, yearly.
Here comes again. If people are not earning their keep, It's called Get Rid of Them. Boy, that was a tough one.
Yeah, exactly. If you're paying out more than you're getting, you're in reverse.
That's a pretty easy one. Yeah, we need to make some changes there. So anyway, if you can, get it out. If you can't, we can talk tomorrow, and then we can always talk again next week or sometime. And you know, let's just try to make a goal to make you better off. How's that?
Oh, that sounds very good. I'll await your call, sir.
You have a one. Now, listen, are you working? Are you on your way home from work?
No, I'm not working.
Okay, good. So but again, if I call you and I miss you, I'll leave you a message. You can call me back and I'll leave you my cell phone number.
All right, very good, sir.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know,
that's pretty bad. That's sad. You know, this woman has $50,000 invested and she's spending more in fees than she's earning.
Yeah, sounds like an attorney.
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, but you know, listen, we see these commercials on TV, you know.
Yeah.
I don't do this, I don't do that. And if I make, you make. And I look at Bernie Madoff's in jail for the rest of his life, and he was a RIA, registered investment advisor, working on fees, quote.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always thieves, but there's people that are not doing their job.
Well, wouldn't she be a great candidate for exchange traded debts?
To me, here's 5%, mm-hmm. and there's no fees. Bottom line is, you pay a commission one time when you get in, and you're not going to pay. And the debt instruments, 5 or 6% they're making, it's the greatest place in the world to sit when you're not sure where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, it depends on how old and what your time horizon is. Right. I always worry about, and there's no such thing as one saddle that fits everybody rear end. You know, you've got to look at it and say, hey, each person is a little different. What's your goal? What you want to accomplish? But when you got $50,000 sitting in an IRA and you're paying $1,000 to $1,300 a year in fees and you're not making that much money, somebody's not doing their job.
Correct. Absolutely.
Pretty simple. You take 5% times 50 is $2,500. If they were taking half of that $2,500, at least you'd be moving positive.
Right. Mm-hmm. She sounds like she's negative.
It doesn't sound good.
No.
And you know, that does happen.
And with inflation, she's probably negative to start with, even without the fees.
And that, you see? Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. 1-888-221-8990. And where we're going with that is anybody that has an existing account, either where you're not being communicated with properly or you're standing still. In this last 12 months, most people were making in excess of 10% if they were invested in the market. Now, if they were invested in the wrong things in the market, meaning bonds primarily, they might have gone backwards. At least they could have stood still. So when I've talked to people right away and I see that, hey, when they tell me they've got it, I say, even if you don't go with me today, you call up and get out of those things and sit in cash, at least in a money market account, because mm-hmm. you're not going to go backwards.
Well, what's the difference between, say, a corporate bond and the exchange-traded debt that you were talking about?
Well, there's not a lot on the surface because they both pay interest. But the difference is with the exchange-traded debts, they're shorter-term instruments with call dates, and they're 100% liquid all the time where people can get in and get out. I've had tremendous success with these, even in an increasing interest rate market, where they have maintained their value, just an anomaly in the market.
So if they're liquid, you can buy and sell them? You can get out of one and buy another one if it has a better exchange?
You can buy it today, sell it tomorrow.
Well, buy it today and sell it today.
You buy it today, sell it today, which doesn't make much sense because you got to pay me. On the other hand, if you do that every day, could you do it with a couple hundred? Anyway. 1-888-221-8990, and we're about out of time. We got 15 seconds left, according to Pastor Dave here. So I'm going to say, hey, folks, thanks for the phone calls, everybody. And any way we can, we're here to help you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, and God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.